reading to you from 1 John, the 5th chapter, and with the 13th verse. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Today we'll be coming back from Jefferson County. We had a service at 1 o'clock and a service at 2 o'clock. And the first Tuesday of August, Bill Adelong and I'll be at the Denver Rescue Mission. Pray for that service. And the last of the month, we'll be down at Ordway Prison. I pray for the quartet and my wife and I. And then the next week, we'll be at the Jefferson County Prison for two services. We really appreciate it when you pray for us, because we know how important prayer is. A lot of people don't put much stock in it, but you know, I want to tell you something cute. My wife bought me a nice pen one time, and I lost it. And I lost it, and I could not find it. I looked everywhere, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I'd like to find that pen. I really enjoyed that pen. I got my sweater out of the closet the other day, and there it was hanging on my sweater. See, God answers prayer, even little things. Be with you for 28 minutes. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a glass of iced tea, and let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, and with the 16th verse. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatsoever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. You know, friends, I can remember the day that God's Holy Spirit made that scripture come alive to me. I was attending Bible school in Riverside, California, and I was working roofing in the daytime and going to school at night. Well, lo and behold, I came down with a lung tumor. And I mean, I was one sick little guy. Well, I talked to the Lord about it. I prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't fully understand this. I'm 30 years old. I've got a family. I've got a wife. You called me to preach. Now here I am with a lung tumor. And finally, the doctors gave up on me that I wasn't going to make it. But God had a different plan. Well, while I was still recovering from this lung tumor that God finally healed, and he healed it, nobody else, I was supposed to visit a couple who had visited our church a couple of times, but my temperature was up to 103, so I told my wife to call and tell him, and I just couldn't come over. I just didn't feel good. But before you call, would you read me the 15th chapter of John? I honestly really, really felt that God laid that chapter on my heart. Well, I was too sick to read it, so I laid down the Davenport, and my wife read that 15th chapter. Boy, howdy, God spoke to my heart that night. He said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And I said to Jean, come on, we're going to go visit that couple. Guess what? We did introduce that couple to Christ that night. You see, friends, the reason is, God knows his business. Some of you tonight listen to the broadcast, you just feel like you're a zilch, that you don't have much education, and you're not very good looking, and you don't know much about the Bible, and you may be 10 pounds overweight and all that. But beloved, I'm here to tell you, God has a purpose for your life. If you've been blood bought, if you're a child of the King, God has a purpose for your life. It may not seem important to you, And maybe your job is to mow the lawn at the church. You think that's important? Of course it is, to keep that church grounds looking good. Maybe your job is to help wash the dishes after a church supper. Is that important? It certainly is. God does not have any unimportant jobs for you and for me. Now, unless you're, of course, you want to be a big shot. See, God is not looking for super spirituals. He's looking for men and women who are available. That's what he wants. Just ask him, what do you want from my life, Lord? And he'll show you. One thing for sure, God wants you to be a soul winner. He absolutely wants you to be a witness or a soul winner for him. It tells us in Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. Let me ask you, did God make a mistake by calling Saul of Tarsus for this important job? I should say he did not make a mistake. A man that went about trying to stamp out Christianity, killing and beating Christians and having them thrown in jail? No, friends, God knew Saul's heart before Saul was saved. After Saul was saved, God gave him his traveling orders, and Saul took off like a herd of turtles. But wait a minute. Just before Saul's conversion, God had a confrontation with a very special deacon by the name of Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit, a man full of wisdom, a man full of love, a martyr for the faith. Stephen called these Jews stiff-necked and uncircumcised hearts and ears. While when they heard that, they were furious, and they gnashed their teeth at him. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. As they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voice, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him to death. Saul of Tarsus witnessed that killing. In fact, he even held Stephen's coat. But did you know Stephen cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against him, and then he died. Saul gave consent to this terrible killing. But Saul could not forget the look on Stephen's eyes as he gave up the ghost and went on. Friends, listen, you say, well, Cecil, you know, you're always talking about prisons. Oh, beloved, listen, that's my life. That's the thing that I know God has called me to do in my quartet and my wife. We go there Sunday after Sunday, and when we sit there in those meetings and here's 40 or 50 women, a lot of them only 18 years old, they look like they should be playing with dolls, and they're in prison for some terrible thing they did. Either they were selling drugs or prostitution or something, but they're there for a reason. Now, you mean to tell me God just says, let him go to hell? I don't think so. I don't think so. Look what he did with Saul. Saul was a terrible person, and he saw people killed and beaten, and he was going to stamp out Christianity come hell or high water. But he couldn't do it because God had chosen him for a very important job. You know, it was easy for Saul after he was saved to do an about face and start to work for Jesus. Friends, when a man or woman gives their heart to Jesus, they are new creatures. Old things are passed away, and all things become as new. Listen, friends, and this is a fact. The morning I got up off my knees after asking Jesus to forgive my sins and save me, 3 hours from that time, I was witnessing to a man I drank with for months. 3 months later, I kept working with him and his wife. 3 months later, he and his wife was gloriously saved. So, friends, you say, well, actually, friends, baby Christians sometimes do a lot better job than older Christians in witnessing. I remember in Riverside, California, I'd introduced a man and a wife to Christ. He was an alcoholic, and she was one tough cookie. Boy, she could not witness enough. See, being her husband was an alcoholic, he knew a lot of drinking people. And they'd come over to their house, and boy, I'm telling you, she'd start to work on them. And one night, she called me up and she said, "Brother Mo, where does it say in the Bible you must be saved again?" "No," I said, "it said you must be born again." It didn't make any difference. She did her dead level best. And I don't know how many people I was privileged to introduce to Christ because of this young lady and her commitment to Christ. She really was excited about Jesus. Friends, if you're not excited about Jesus tonight, there's something wrong with your walk. You know how to get excited again. Get down on your knees and say, "God, I have been cold. I have been indifferent. And I really haven't witnessed. And I know my mom's unsaved, and I know my daddy's unsaved. And beloved, let me tell you what, it's the hardest thing in the world to witness to your old family." That's exactly right. How do I know? Well, after I was saved, my two brothers, boy, I started praying for them. They were both very successful, very wealthy, and they had everything, and I was the black sheep of the family. I was an outcast, and rightly so. But I loved my two brothers, and I shared with them, and I'd call them, and I'd witness to them, and I'd write, and I'd send them tracts, and I'd send them books, and they would just get flat-out furious. They accused me of preaching at them. I didn't. I didn't try to tell them to come to my church. I tried to tell them about Jesus. When you're out witnessing, it's fine to tell people you go to the First Presbyterian or the Baptist Church or whatever. That's fine. But don't glorify the church over Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that saves. He's the one that changed people's hearts and lives. Now he said, "I have chosen you and appointed you to go and bear fruit." Now here's the question I want to ask you. Are you bearing fruit for Jesus tonight? Or are you just saved and satisfied? Oh, listen, I do not know exactly how many times Jesus has told us to do things for him. But I do know this. He said, "You know that you are my disciples if you do what I have commanded you to do." Friends, it's a lot of Christians I know, and you hear this on Namers and Claimers, that after you're saved, you'll never be sick a day in your life. You can demand God to heal you. And you can't do that. Honest, you can't, beloved. You can ask, but you can't demand. He is a holy, righteous God. Ask, and ye shall receive. But don't command and don't demand anything from God. Because, you know, if you boil it right down, there's only one thing God has to do. Only one thing that he has to do. If you truly repent of your sins and tell God you're sorry and invite Christ into your heart, then he will give you eternal life, and no man shall pluck thee out of my hand, thus saith the Lord. You say, "Well, Cecil, look, I hear so many times about that, and people say you could lose your salvation, or you..." Listen, beloved, you don't believe them. Believe the Bible. Believe the Bible. He says, "No man shall pluck thee out of my hand. I give unto you eternal life." That means eternal life and glory. And you can't lose it. Now you say, "Oh, wait a minute, Cecil. How about old so-and-so? He claimed to be a Christian, and he went out and he committed adultery." Well, didn't David? Oh, you say you condone adultery? Absolutely not. That's the silliest thing I've heard you say. No, but he did. And he consented to have her husband killed at battle so he could cover his sin, but it didn't work. He didn't sleep with his wife that night. So David was the man. You cannot cover your sin, and if you try it, you won't prosper, according to the Bible. Now in Acts 1:8, he said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And he said, "You will what I have commanded you to do." Now, remember John the Revelator? He told us in the second and third chapter of Revelation what was wrong with the seven churches. Friends, I'm not fooling you. If only pastors would roll up their sleeves and preach these two chapters, it would not be long that you would see a great spiritual revival break out. It would separate the sheep from the goats. I know you might get tired of me saying a lot of our churches are full of lost church members. It's true, beloved. It's absolutely true. If you're not born again, you're lost and you're doomed and you're damned. Now, I didn't make that up again. Our churches are filled with a lot of lost people who think because they joined a church or because they've been baptized or because they've taken to the Lord's Supper that they're going to heaven. Wrong. Jesus said, ye must be born again. Friends, that's one of my favorite scriptures because I remember when this pastor was trying to tell me about being born again when he read the third chapter of Gospel John. I was trying to understand. I'm crying. I'm sobbing. I've been drunk for days. I lost my wife and my family. Yes, I was whipped. Well, I told him, I said, well, I don't understand what you're talking about. He said, well, neither did Nicodemus. And Cecil, Nicodemus was religious. He was no alcoholic. He was no killer. He was no drug addict. He was just plain lost. And Jesus said, you must be born again, and then you go to heaven. Remember, friends, when you're born of the flesh, that's the first birth. You have to have that or you wouldn't be on this earth. But he said, you must be born spiritually. Now, when you repent and receive Christ, he erases your sins. He washes them in his precious blood, and he throws your sins into a sea of forgetfulness, never, 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 never to ever be remembered again. Oh, beloved, wouldn't you like to have that happen tonight? All the terrible things you've done in your life, thrown in a sea of forgetfulness. I love to tell those inmates that God can forgive what they did. And God can make of them new creatures in Christ Jesus. And friends, some of the greatest Christians I know have been in prison. Paul was in prison. In fact, he died in prison. They cut his head off in prison. Peter was in prison. John was in prison. Silas was in prison. But you see, when you find the Savior, you have found the answer. Many years ago, I was preaching a two-week revival in a large church in Blaine, Washington. A young man who had been helping me get the church ready for the revival told me that his daddy was an alcoholic and he was going to bring him to the meeting. And he said, I hope, Cecil, you can witness to my dad being you're a converted alcoholic. Well, his dad did come to the meeting, his dad and his mom. And after the service, we had donuts and sandwiches and coffee and punch. And I tried to talk to Mr. Harsh, but boy, he was not one bit interested at all. Well, one night about 11 o'clock, I received a phone call from this Harsh boy, and he said, come quickly, my dad has suffered a stroke. My wife and I went to his bedside, and I cleared the room and said, Mr. Harsh, you may not see another sunrise. And he said, I know that. And I said, don't you want to go to heaven? He said, sure, I do. Well, I said, are you going to? Sure, I'm going to heaven. I said, how do you know? Well, because I belong to a Lutheran church. I've been baptized. I said, is that really what you're depending on to get into heaven? He said, yes. I said, that's not enough. He began to cry. And I said, Mr. Harsh, if you repent of your sins and call out to God and invite Christ into your heart, you'll be saved. Now, friends, I am not saying Lutherans are not saved. I didn't say that, but this man was lost. And he prayed that night and accepted Christ, and he died a few days later, saved and on the road to heaven. Now, friends, let me tell you what happened. At that funeral, this is the truth, at that funeral, they put this Mr. Harsh's baptismal service in his hand. And he told, the chief preacher told the congregation that he held within his hand eternal life, his baptismal certificate. I just about died. What a lie. That baptismal certificate is just a piece of paper. Do I believe in baptism? Of course I do. There's two ordinances of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. And you're baptized because you have been saved to show the world that you've experienced the death, burial, resurrection, and you take the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what he did on you from the cross. Now, the question I ask, do you know tonight whether you're going to heaven when you die? Get your Bible and read 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 13th verse. This is written that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. After Saul was saved, his name was changed to Paul. He literally turned the world upside down for Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God sure didn't have much to work with when he saved me, this old alcoholic. But I've done my best to help and win thousands of alcoholics throughout the world because I know what Jesus did for me and I know what he can do for you tonight. He loves you with an eternal love. And if you don't believe me, read the 14th chapter of John. Read John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, if you have a tug at your old heart tonight, and you feel so lost, so undone, wouldn't you come to Jesus and become as a little child and pray this powerful prayer? But please don't pray it if you don't mean it. Don't make fun of it. Here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, oh, I confess that I'm lost and undone. I know, Lord, that I've done some terrible things, and I'm so sorry what I've done to you and to my family and my loved ones. Tonight, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. That's 303-471-8534. I won't make fun of you. I won't use your name on the air. I won't sit down and write and ask you for money. Beloved, I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. I've been doing this for 30 years on this broadcast, asking people to come to Christ. Will you be the one tonight? 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call. I want to thank those dear, precious people who sent a offering in for the prison ministry this week. Oh, I want to thank you so much. Don't think for 5 minutes that we don't appreciate it, because without it, we couldn't do it. And if you love the souls of men and you love people in prison, boy, you may have a loved one or a family or a friend or somebody that's been in prison. Well, if you'd like to help us, oh, it would be appreciated. Sit down and write a check or money order to Mo Evangelistic Association, Inc., and that's 9621 South Burberry, B-U-R-B-E-R-R-Y, Burberry Lane, Highlands Ranch, Colorado, 80129. And all these gifts are tax deductible as authorized by the federal government, because we are a legalized nonprofit organization. We don't beg for people, we just ask. And some of you blessed little old senior citizens like me that live on Social Security, we know you can't help. And we're not, hey, but you can help. You can pray that God will raise up people. That's what you can do. Dear Lord, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you so much for this broadcast. I thank you, Lord, for our faithful listeners. Oh, God, help me to tell people a story about Christ. Help me not to be a one that waters it down. but tells it like it is. I'm so thankful, Lord, for Reverend Tom Baird, the man that introduced me to Christ. He answered a lot of questions. I didn't know that God loved alcoholics. I didn't know God loved drunkards or prostitutes or homosexuals or lesbians. I didn't know that. But I found out that you did. When I gave you my heart, Lord, I meant it from the bottom of my heart. Lock, stock, and barrel, I tried to sell out for Jesus. Father, bless my re-listening family. Bless those wonderful, wonderful people who this past week has sent offerings for in our prison ministry so we can go. I thank you so much. Lord, I pray for my dear wife that you'll help her to sell her real estate, because I know that she's going to help me my broadcast expenses, and I appreciate it and I love her for it. All these things we ask in Jesus' name, because we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, for the past 28 minutes, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe, and I thank you so much for listening, and I pray I said something that might have encouraged you. Oh, friends, listen, I know life is rough, and I know a lot of people are losing their homes, and there's a lot of unemployment. I know that, and I know there's time when we didn't know whether we were going to be able to eat, but you always supplied the needs, and I just praise you for it. Now, Lord, bless those who've lost their loved ones and friends this last week. God be with them. God help them to turn their eyes toward Jesus, because he's the one that can comfort a broken heart. Lord, I've been there many times in my losing my brothers, my sisters, and my dad and my mom. Now, Father, I pray that you'll continue to bless our broadcast. Until this time next Saturday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.